Hello, everybody. Thank you so much if you're still here after this long summer. Our long summer has gotten longer. Our moves have taken a little bit longer than expected. We've had a couple family emergencies pop up, but we're going to be getting back to recording fairly soon. So stay tuned here. Stay tuned on our website, whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com. We mixed it on Facebook. Parts Dielman on Twitter. Parts Dielman on Instagram. I know not all of these are Movies R Us based, but that's where you can keep track of Desmond, Justin, and Jeremy to find out where you can listen to us. Stay tuned where you can stay tuned to, because we're going to be doing something pretty cool. For sure, Thank the Light is going to go live, people. We're going to be definitely live on YouTube. I'm hoping to push it out to some other places where you can find us live. If we're going to be live, we might as well be live in as many places as possible. I think our conversations about The Wheel of Time will be much more amazing if we can get some of you involved, throwing out comments in real time, asking us questions in real time, correcting us in real time. We're still working out exactly what time we will be live, and that's where you need to stay tuned so we can tell you where we'll be. Hopefully, we'll figure out a regular time so you will know where to find us every week or every other week. That's a detail we're still working out. The podcast, of course, will continue to live in forever on YouTube. Right now is the plan to also produce the audio and send it out to you right here where you're listening to us now. So if you just want to just stay where you are and keep getting us, there you are. We're just waiting. You know, the books are fun to talk about, but I really like talking about visual media. That's why most of my podcasts are based on movies and TV shows. So we're talking about the books, filling time. And if you could be there to help us fill that time until we get to season three, that would be amazing. And Movies R Us, probably going to go live as well, just because, you know, we got to sit down and record these anyways. And if we get a huge audience, all the merrier. But again, I'm still just going to push the audio out right here. So I just thought, why not have some fun? See if we can get some audience participation while we're recording these podcasts anyways. So again, stay tuned. We will tell you when our first live episode will be up. We would love for you to join. Our first episode is really going to be us working out the technology and making sure that we can actually do this. So if you guys could be there to ask us some questions, that would help us stress test our situation. Just get us ready for what's going to hopefully be an amazing next chapter. Thank the Light, Movies R Us, Time Pop, the Time Travel Movie Podcast. I also want to move that over to live. So if you enjoy time travel movies, check out Time Pop, and we will inform you there when Scott and I will be going live for that show. So again, thank you for sticking with us this summer. Stay tuned. Come back. You are going to be part of the show very soon. Enjoy our final free Patreon episode, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. I don't want to grow up.
Nope.
Because it's not this podcast. Let's get our Patreon
on.
Tonight! Is this the most fantastical movie we've ever done?
No. It's fantastical in like a Family Guy talking dog kind of way. Not a like a Watt magic kind of way.
It's so funny. I say it all the time. Like, we'll be watching something and Cormac's just like, you know, like just some dumb sitcom or something, and like, you know, something will go flying across. You're like, I don't understand how that tennis ball went across the living room without anyone throwing it. I'm like, your favorite cartoon is about talking dogs. Like, get on board, fucker.
Right. you know why I smile? Because I, too, have a face that I like.
I want to talk to Jeremy first because Jeremy had to bite his
tongue. No, can I just make fun of Jeremy a little bit first?
Oh, actually, yeah, you do that, and then I'll tell everyone what else is talking about.
Oh man, okay. So let me get
well, why don't you tell them what the movie's about first, and then Justin can make fun of me.
Tonight, talking about Marcel, the single shell and shell with shoes on from 2021. I was surprised how I felt like I like just missed this in the theater last year.
Yeah.
This is such a.
Me too.
Fucking, I'm like super 2000 and late on this. And I was excited to watch it and just kept putting it off. And I apparently put it off for 3 or 4 years. 90 minutes on the tick, rated PG. Starring the wonderful Jenny Slate, Dean Fleischerkamp, which I feel like I should know more, but I don't. Isabella Rossellini.
It was great.
Joe Gabler. Oh my God. I was so sad that I didn't know her, because I'm listening to that voice. Like, I know I should know her.
I knew her voice, but I couldn't have, you know.
And couldn't do it. So that's what we're talking. That's what we're going to talk about half the time. We'll see what Justin's going to talk about the other half here in any minute.
Probably the rest of the time we're going to be making fun of me.
We made a film today about a little shell in one eye, and he's got some shoes, and he's very ingenious. No, this movie is wildly entertaining. It's very, very fun. You know, Jeremy, I'm sorry that you said us that you're kind of had your, you know, you were kind of mind blown about it, because I was really, really stoned, and I know you don't do drugs, and maybe you have a head wound. I don't know if it was mind blowing for you. I don't know. It was great, but I don't know about mind blowing. A lot of good themes. Very good.
This movie was mind blowing. And if it didn't blow your mind, I'm going to get into some shit later that will help.
I'm ready to be convinced. So
help melt your brain. Just before I forget, Cormac's big beef with this movie was that the grandma and the son's eye was on the different side. He couldn't get on board with that. He's like, why? I don't get it. I don't understand. Just like, that's where we're going. Now, do you guys think, let's get into it right now. I bet you they did several screen tests back and forth of whether or not to give it a mouth. What do you think of the mouth?
Yeah, it comes into place a little, honestly.
I didn't even notice it.
I mean, you only see the mouth when it's really up close.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even see it. But you're probably right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they have.
I bet they did. They might have even done like the whole movie and were just like,
yeah, you might be right.
Because it is kind of like an afterthought, because I feel like if that was a pre-production discussion, they get Play-Doh lips on that thing.
Some South Park like paper mache.
Yeah, totally.
It's my party. I do what I want.
Because it does. It just disappears. When they go flat-lipped, it just disappears.
Yeah.
They don't have a line. Unless they're mid-sentence and they stop for a second, then they'll have a line. But then if grandma's just listening, then yeah, I really thought this was gonna be from the trailers I saw and just everything that I know about animated movies, I was like, oh, Marcel is definitely going across the country. Like, this is gonna be Marcel
Bible Goes West as a show.
Going from Oregon to New York to even just like maybe be on 60 Minutes Live. Like, maybe they're going from Nebraska to wherever they film 60 Minutes. I was really shocked when this was a Marcel at home.
Basically an Airbnb, right? But pretty much one place.
Not basically. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, they leave like once. That's it. Well, I guess twice.
Starring Leslie Stahl as herself.
as Leslie Stahl. Jeremy, okay, I want to get into your brain, because like I said, you were excited about this movie first, and I know I cut you off last night, so what are your opening thoughts?
You know, I had zero expectations for this movie, and I honestly thought...
Yeah, I had no idea.
I had heard the name, that's it. No interest, no nothing.
Really? I hadn't even heard the name until Des texted it. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It kind of stuck out to me because Marcel the Shell with Shoes, or was it with Shoes On? Yeah, with shoes on. So I'm like, oh,
anyone can have a pair of shoes, Jeremy, but can you wear
them? They're on.
Thought it was about a French chef that specialized in escargot.
I literally.
He was really in. He was like a shoe file, like collecting Jordans and just all that kind of shit. You know, he's like, hey, look at my shoes. He's got like a.
I thought it was going to be a French language because of that. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. I thought it was a weird translation.
Yeah.
So when the movie started, I'm like, oh, okay. It's actually English. And then, man, I just, The cinematography was amazing. I thought that, but then also once they start talking and you just see the journey that Marcel goes on, and it's just, it's a heartwarming, like you just don't see movies like this.
Sometimes heartbreaking.
Huh? Sometimes heartbreaking.
Yeah. Sometimes heartbreaking. Yeah. You know, I did tear up for a second. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, you don't see movies like this anymore. Marcel goes on this journey of learning how to cope with loss. First learning how to, you know, learning about his surroundings, learning about like, oh, you know, the house that I live in, he had to explore more of it because he lost all of his family. And then you kind of find out about his world. Then he starts to find out about the outer world. And then when he goes on the drive to find out, like, you know, that actually see the city.
I just got to get up high and then I can see everything. He's like, oh,
yeah, exactly. Shit. It made me laugh because every time they're driving down, he's like, what?
Jeremy, how often do you throw up a day driving around?
Every day. Every day.
Didn't you used to get car sick really bad when we were kids?
I did. I did very much.
That's what I thought.
That's because he wouldn't take his mom. Was like, quit looking at the fucking Game Boy. No.
We didn't have Game Boys, bro. What are you talking about?
I did not have a Game Boy.
Me neither.
Oh, you better read or entertain yourselves or you might get slapped.
Yeah. Now, this is when I was reading the Choose Your Own Adventure books with my fingers stuck in it.
Oh, so much worse than games. Like, yeah, reading is... Yeah, so much worse.
The worst.
So let's get into this for a minute. Does the original couple know about them? Did they buy them? Did they breed them? Did they even know they were living in the house together?
I don't think they knew they existed. No, yeah, I don't think they did.
Are you sure?
I agree.
Really?
I'm not positive, but I think so.
Yeah, you're right. Because when
he says something like no one noticed us, like maybe we were talking about the Airbnb guests.
But... That's what I thought. I thought they were just talking about the Airbnb guests that like. They've just been Yeah, at first I was like, how is this thing surviving at all? But then you realize that, you know, every week, you know, a couple stays there over the weekend and leaves some Dorita chips. So, okay. So they're a total, like, it's such a, again, fantastical movie. I'm going to dumb it down a little bit for people out there who haven't seen it. Cause I think this is either a movie that people are like, holy fuck, I got to see this. Or like, Justin, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Okay. All right. Let me back up a little bit. I'm just fucking having a good time. Like, this was really good. And I do have a lot of
No. I just mean that, but you hadn't heard of it. And there's a lot of people.
No, I never even heard of it. And a lot of times.
That just like us. And they're like, I guess we're talking about Marcel the Shell with Shoes on Press Play. So I'm going to try to help them out a little bit.
Well, and you know me, man, if I don't know anything about stuff, it's like, I have a hard time with that. At least even I have ADD so fucking bad. And I'm like, it's way worse than ever it was when we lived together, especially when stress is. And it's like, I start to fucking, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to pay attention to this. And it got me right away. And like, I wanted to make fun of Jeremy a little bit because that's what we do. It's fun. But, you know, he was mentioning, you know, the journey that Marcel goes on and stuff. There's so much as far as like, I don't know a better word because there's so many things. This is like a social commentary. You know, he has to deal with loss. You know, anybody who's had parents fight or I've been a parent who fights and, you know, I've done it around my kids and I'm not proud of it. You know, him watching them fight and how they run away and hide. I'm sure that resonates, you know, with more than, you know, 10 million people. You know, I mean, it's just
yeah,
stuff like that, that really they're this movie had it in spades every time you turned around. Virtues of friendship, you know, loss, all of those things. And so if from that sense, yeah, I mean, it was, this movie is pretty genius the way it's shot. And just, one of the things I liked the most is all of the little things that ingenious ways that he, you know, like in the little green army men, they find ways to use everything, you know, he's carving stuff out with his little needle. And he's like, well, I better take this needle in case we get, or this nail in case we get attacked. And I better find some sort of helmets and I better take this match. He's like, what are you going to take the match for?
It's a flare.
Yeah. It's a flare, you know.
Making rope out of Hardy hairs.
Yeah, we call him Hardy hairs. And he starts laughing.
Why are you guys laughing? What's funny? That's so funny, man. Fucking pubes. They're the strongest ones. Lisa and I were sitting on the couch and she started fucking. She was kind of like half paying attention and she just started busting the fuck up.
Like, I like the two. It blows me away that this is Jenny Slate, you know, Mona Lisa Saperstein, but she just has this like.
That's what I was going to say. Is that fucking the word?
It's crazy. I watched a little, I'll get into it deeper in a little bit, but I watched a little making of after we watched it. And like, I assumed they were modulating. I knew it sounds like Jenny Slate, but I'm like, they're modulating that a little bit. That voice just comes straight out of her fucking face.
And you know what? They backed off of it a little bit because the first two fucking minutes I was like, I don't know if I can watch this because that voice is getting to me. And then they kind of backed off a little bit of it. And it was like, I didn't think that was her. But as soon as you said her name, I'm like, oh, my God, is that who I think it is?
Yeah, she. So getting into the documentary again a little bit. So this was her and the director were at a wedding. They were, I don't know if they're dating or not, or maybe they were dating. I didn't get in their relationship. But they were staying at a hotel together while they were at a wedding.
I think they were married.
Oh, are they married?
They were. I think they're actually, they have split up since that. This movie apparently took 7 years to make.
Yeah, this movie. But it started with just them goofing off. Like they were bored in a hotel room.
Yes.
And Jenny Slate started picking up small items and being like, and doing her little Marcel voice. And then it just fucking, apparently, I mean, it probably, and then they were doing YouTube videos.
Was this on YouTube and stuff first? And so like, cause they had like the stuff on like,
I think it was, yeah.
The news and stuff. So I was like wondering if that was fictional or how true that was.
Yeah. It started out as a YouTube thing. And a lot of those were shot kind of documentary style. So when they started to make a movie about it, I forget who talked them into making a movie. Oh, apparently, like, it was some night while they were drinking or something. They like, you know those deals you make when you're at the bar and you're like, yeah, let's go hiking tomorrow. And then your friend shows up at 7 a.m. and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Why the fuck are you here?
You said we're going hiking, man. Come on, bro.
We made plans last night at the Zoo Tavern. I haven't been there for fucking months, man. What are you talking about?
Nothing I say on cocaine counts the next day. Don't you know that?
Speaking of jokes, there's so many good ones. Little things like, you know, we call them Hardy Hairs. And, you know, all the little things that they do to, like, make their little, like, world ingenious or cool. He just says...
He was your favorite hockey player.
Wade Jetski.
Wade Jetski.
Whale Jetski.
Whale Jetski. That thing... That can't be his name, right?
Randy Jeff Jafkins.
But he talks about the one of her cousins actually got left in a pocket once and went into the washer. And then she's like, yeah, then he just
that was actually one of the funniest things. Because he goes, yeah, yeah, you know, goes in with the wash, comes out with the wash. You know, I don't like that saying because sometimes it doesn't come out at all, or it comes out a completely different person and just stares at the It's like, hey. Ask me what my skis are. Ask me what my skis are.
What are your
man skis? Toenail. Man toenails.
Oh my God. Yeah, I just have like my first two pages are just like Hardy Hairs, Sticky Honey Shoes, Whale Jet Ski.
The honey shoes were fantastic.
The Harbinger of the Vacuum.
Oh. Yeah, the Harbinger of the Vacuum. I laughed hard.
Oh my gosh. The there was one other thing. What was it? Gosh darn, I had it and I forgot it.
The
moving along.
What's that?
No, I said moving along. Go ahead. Oh, the grandma came from the garage.
Grandma came from the garage. That's why she's got an accent. You know, I think she came here in a pocket, a sweater pocket a long time ago. That I was dead. It's so funny.
She loves dusty, moldy smell because of living in the garage for so
It just
long.
Reminds her of home, I think. God. Just stay still for 30 seconds. I can't.
Oh, Wild Tone. I'm all about Wild Tone. I call it Room Tone, but I guess when you're outside, you call it Wild Tone. we did a whole week on Room Tone, Justin, in school. I paid a lot of money.
Really?
I paid a lot of money to learn the importance of Room Tone.
Like in a color sense or in a sound sense?
In a sound sense. So that, yeah, you get a little like background hum. It's better to kind of create your own background hum than to deal with what might just randomly pop up. Oh my God. Speaking of Room Tone, I was talking to my realtor about something and I told him what I do for a living. He goes, oh, your favorite movie must be Blowout. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'm already fucking excited. 1981, John Travolta is a sound designer for movies. It's so great. And the whole movie is based on him. He's out just recording stuff in the wild to use as special effects sounds. And he accidentally records a murder.
What?
And
it might be your new favorite movie now. God, it sounds great.
I think I haven't even finished it yet. Like I just kind of threw it on today while I was doing stuff and then got interrupted. And I've seen 45 minutes of this 2-hour movie and it's my favorite. My least favorite saying now is everything comes out in the wash.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because it doesn't always come out.
It doesn't. Or it doesn't come out the way you put it in.
Yeah, it comes out different and then it just stares at the wall.
Oh my God. How is this movie not playing in the background? I just let my TV.
Oh, another thing that cracked me up. There's all these little lines that make me laugh. Is that an inhaler? Where'd you get that? I don't know. I got it from someone who stayed over one night.
He's like, I think it's a slide. There's the one scene where Marcel's like asking Dean to help out. And he's like, I don't want to be in the movie. And then he's like, have you ever thought, Dean, that your life might be a little less lonely and a little more integrated if you took the time to connect with somebody and not just make videos about them? And then he's like, silence. He helps.
You know what, Dean? Why don't you play the guitar with someone instead of at someone?
Yeah, that's like I said, the social commentaries in this are fucking very layered. Even it would make sense, Jeremy, actually, if they were married when they started making this. And then by the time they finished it, they weren't. Because one of the things he's like, can we just pause the video? Can we stop? Like, can we just go back to where, like, you know, I could see a couple like, can we just go back to when we were like so in love and before, like that they're not together anymore? You know, it's like, oh, OK. Right.
Like their relationship became all work when this movie started.
Yeah, and like about being famous and like trying to keep up that, you know. I don't know how anyone could have a relationship who are famous like that and be real. It just seems insane.
Peace and love, goodbye. Like, of course, peace.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to start signing everything war because I'm all about war. I was like, that was another one. Lisa and I both just guffawed laughing like, yeah, I'm going to start saying that all the time. Peace, fuck that. War everything.
War out. What's so we got peace out. So I guess war, I guess, would just be the middle finger.
Well, I listened to Rome, and Jeremy, you know, that's like people like they used to be like War Eagle. And I think it was like a Boston College thing or something, or Auburn. I don't know.
That's Auburn.
But is it Auburn? And so people like, if they like anything, they'll just be like, oh, you know, War of the Raiders drafting this guy or whatever, you know. Something that they're into.
Drafted a tight end.
So that made me laugh. Even dude, that they're gonna be. That's, I like that draft pick for what was there. Best player available. It's good.
Agreed.
The like that, like I said, this movie is so. And this movie's made like going into the pandemic too. So a lot of that is bleeding into it. When she's like, you know, when they start putting a bunch of stuff on YouTube, and Marcel is like, "This is. I was hoping to get a community. This isn't a community. This is an audience."
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so. Fucking
I'm watching it there. Let the battle begin, Marcel.
Yeah. I love how she kind of keeps going. Every once in a while, you could tell Jenny Slate was just kind of on a riffing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, with the mic on. She's like, yeah, I'm just going to, yeah, just war. I'm all about war. Like, yeah.
Well, the 60 Minutes thing, too, when the guy's coming in, he's like, oh, look, he's totally looking for the bathroom, but he's making it act like he hasn't really have to go that bad. And I'm like, oh, they're just totally riffing on something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, now he's on the TV. Now he's not on the TV.
Oh, look, it's headphones and microphone guy.
I thought they got denied by 60 Minutes at first. That's why I thought he was sad. I didn't know that it was kind of cool. And I'm like,
so you guys are reminding me all this stuff that I totally didn't even write down. And this movie is... I really think it's probably one of the best movies I've seen in a year or two. I would recommend this to everyone. There's no one I couldn't recommend this to.
Totally.
Yeah. You want to watch it with your kids? Watch it with your kids. You want to watch it by yourself? Absolutely watch it by yourself. So this totally reminds me of we were talking about, it's probably not going to be on any of the podcasts, but Hayao Miyazaki movies. And his movies set up an atmosphere, like an ambiance. There's a lot of establishing shots like this, where they show like the grandma in the garden or how Marcel is trying to set up things. And then sometimes it's just like a shot of a bug crawling on a screen or a squirrel, you know, jumping into the window.
This movie was great for that. I mean, like you said, the cinematography, the way they do stuff, all the little things like grandma's garden, the house, even like when he's like making Connie's like tomb in the garden or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got a queen.
Yeah.
A queen chess piece. For the
yeah.
thing,
yeah,
it's pretty fucking dope. I thought that was pretty cool. when the Kush hits,
oh my yeah. god! I'd be like, this movie. The only reason I didn't cry is because I was certain within the first 3 minutes I was going to cry.
Yeah,
and so like it was just as sweet as I knew it would be. So my tears stayed just a little bit ahead of it, but the closest I got was when the beetle,
yeah,
after grandma died and the beetle came. Like, first the beetle flies off, like, oh, fuck you. And then the Beatle comes back. It's like, I guess it's just you and me, kid.
Yeah.
Like, I got your grandma's gone and I got no one else. Like, oh.
It's raining. And he comes back and he like kind of sits there next to him. And Marcel just looks at him and kind of goes, hey.
Yeah. It's so weird that Marcel, there's no reason why Marcel can't be a girl. I don't know why with Jenny doing the voice.
I think it's supposed to be a little boy. Like,
it is. Yeah. They say he over and over again, but like,
well, he even makes a comment. Oh, she's so cute with her pink shoes. He's like, she's why I wear pink shoes. My grandfather had pink shoes. It's a problem.
Oh, do they say that? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be all cartoon young boys are played by adult women 99% of the time.
You know, Bart Simpson was a
still is.
Girl, too, is. So. Yeah. 40 yeah. years later.
Well, I mean, still is. I'm saying still, you know.
Don't have a cow, man.
Bobby Hill.
Eat my shorts. Diet. I love Bobby Hill. And that's, what is her name? She's a famous actress too.
Yeah. Oh, she's not with it. Oh no, the sister is his cousin is not with us anymore. It was so funny. I was singing because I'm that dad. I was singing, Already Standing on the Ground at the end. I was singing along with the movie, and my son's like, have you seen this before? I'm like, no, oh, this song's older than both of us combined.
You mean Peaceful, Easy Feeling?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
You mean this?
It's the fucking Eagles.
It's the Eagles, man.
The fucking Eagles. I hate the fucking Eagles.
No.
No, I love the Eagles. I'm just kidding.
The one thing that's bad about the Big Lebowski.
That's the one bad thing about it. Even makes me mad.
The one bad
thing. Hey, you guys want to hear it? Oh, you know what? I'm going to tell my story right now just because it came up so so casually. I wanted to tell a movie story, too. I've been trying to think of movie stories or you know, something to have to do with going to the theater or watching a movie.
Brittany Murphy.
Thank you, Jeremy. Brittany Murphy. God bless. R.I.P. Brittany Murphy.
R.I.P.
First of all, I watched Starman.
Wait.
Brittany Murphy, the cousin in...
she played the cousin. Luann. Yeah. Or Luann? Luann?
Oh, God, that's right.
She died.
Luann.
You watched the movie Starman?
I watched the movie, which I've seen a million times, but I haven't seen it in 20 years.
It's a weird movie.
It's a fucking... I knew I liked it. I knew I was going to enjoy it. I know it's silly. I know it's fun. I forget what a movie that is. Like, that's a good film. Like, there's... everyone out there, if you haven't seen Starman in a while, go watch Starman. It's on Netflix, too. Watch Marcel on Netflix. Click on Overwatch Starman. Have yourself a great night. Get laid. Do some coke. It'll be good.
And if you don't have time, listen to the song by David Bowie called Starman, which is just as good, if not better.
I saw The Big Lebowski in the theater, and I walked out.
What?
I walked the middle. I said, nope, I'm good. And I walked out. I have since grown to love The Big Lebowski. I enjoy The Big Lebowski. It was one of those times in my life where I was at the theater all the fucking time. Like, it was just, if I wasn't at work or I had an active date with somebody, I was probably at the theater. So, like, I saw Good, Bad, and Ugly. And for some reason, I had seen a bunch of action movies. I'm trying to think what I saw around. It was like Mission Impossible and one of the Bourne movies or something.
It could just be like,
and I just got it to like, well, that's what I'm saying. It absolutely wasn't the time. And I was just like, I was in this kind of action movie phase. And I was just like, will somebody shut the fuck up and do something? and also part of it was the length too. Like I said, I think I was like, I don't even know if I have 2.5 hours, but I'm going to go in anyways. And then, so yeah, after
Des is never not in an action movie phase.
That's right.
Like,
so I mean,
I just was, I'm a little too on edge emotionally right now, stressed out in my life to let this movie get to me the way it should have. And that's why I've been making jokes and making
jokes. Justin had to put up a wall, emotional wall.
No. Yeah, that's my family.
What do they call it in Dune?
Oh, you're trying to have feelings?
What's the shield in Dune? The
your still suit? Or the you talking about the shields?
Oh, the slow mode or whatever. What was it? God damn it. Shield mode. Shield mode on.
So that means we just need to ease in there, Jeremy. We can't come hard with the soft stuff. We just need to be like, so hey,
slow joke penetrates the shield.
Hey, Justin.
No,
hey,
usually Justin. I'm into hey, it. Justin. Right now, it's like,
hey, it's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
Still getting it.
Hey,
it's not
Justin,
your fault.
It's not your fault.
I want you. I demand that you play me Taps through Cavatappi Pasta right now.
Oh, that's not Taps.
Oh, psychic love. I could use one of those. Oh, there's gonna be lots of smoochies in your future.
Oh my gosh, when the dog gets put in the kennel too.
Oh, what do you do? Is he going to jail?
She's all, what's he in for? He says, what's he in for?
Shoot him at the end. He's like, oh.
Oh, what's he being charged with?
Yeah. That's what he said. At the end, too, he's like, oh, he's got a different scent. Is he sick?
Oh, yeah. No, I've been feeding him wet food. He's got his mouth is crazy.
Oh, and then the scene. So that same scene, he says, no, he goes, oh, no, he's just in the kennel. I'm going to take him to my wife's house. And then Marcel turns around and goes, what? He goes, we've been together for all this time. And you're just telling me now that you have a wife? He goes, well, you know, I was just doing it on you. He's like, well, you don't think we could share?
Yeah, I mean, I know, but I was sharing the whole time. I don't, you know, I just thought, you know, like he's hurt. He's so offended, dude. That's such a dude moment, like a guy friend moment. Like, whoa, like what? I thought we were.
Seriously?
Oh, I thought we were like, had a connection. Yeah. Wow, I'm sorry.
60 minutes interview. Sorry.
I don't know Justin's siblings' names.
I know all of them.
Gina and Greg.
True.
I mean, Gina, sorry.
The 60 minutes interview when she asks, how long has your family been missing? And he's Marcel's all, you know, I don't do seasons like you. And it's like a 10 minute answer. And then he goes, two years.
I don't do the clock like you.
I don't do the clock.
Anyway, just like 2 years. You know, I don't do the clock like you, but the seasons and the plants bloom. And then, so how long was it? 2 years.
Oh, that would have been nice to know.
Just deadpan 2 years. Oh.
See, this movie is great. My wife is coming back from her trip. And so I text her. I said, you need to watch this on the plane. This movie is really good. And I think she would love it.
Dude, I would bawl on a plane if I watched.
Oh, she's going to bawl her eyes out.
Oh, my God. I cried to Fast and Furious on an airplane. You think I won't cry to fucking Marcel?
Man, I don't know. That's like, that is a friendship questioner right there.
She's on the train back from Busan right now.
Unless you're crying about how bad his acting is, crying with anything with Vin Diesel is just questionable. That's all I'm saying.
He's a beautiful, he's like a dolphin. This movie took, like I said, 6 or 7 years to make, and they put so much effort into this fucking movie. Like watching the documentary afterwards, it's one of those things where like if they had put in half the work, this movie would have been great. And it's one of those things where they put in so much extra to make you fucking believe it. So first of all, they spent 2 years just writing and recording voices. That's it. No storyboards.
Wow.
No nothing, because they wanted it to be documentary style. And so they would write, and is what they would do is they would write and freestyle, and then based on the stuff that came up, they'd be like,
that was good.
Well, we need to show that scene now from the past because Jenny wanted to say something about the washer and dryer. So now we got to do a washer and dryer scene. And so like Isabella Rosalie, and they like built these like harnesses so they could wear the mics and just be totally unencumbered. And they did a lot of the recording outside. Like, I don't think they went into a sound booth because they're like, we're filming this movie in a house. So let's just.
Yeah. Or the front yard or whatever.
Walk around this house or walk around outside. And the fact that, I mean, Isabella must be a friend of one of theirs, because just to like come back every 2 weeks for 2 years, like that's a real commitment for a professional. Like, even if you're dedicated to the project, you're like, okay, you got to fucking pare this down, and I'll come into the booth, and I'll bang this out. And then they did like almost a full, pretty quick sketch, but they did a full animated version of this movie. That took another year and a half. And then based on those animations, they then like filmed it. This movie is so fucking hard. Like you kind of notice it when you're watching it, but like I spent a little time making movies in school, and like you don't fucking move the camera when you're doing animation. You fucking don't. And so the fact that they were moving the camera all over the fucking place while they were filming this, just like the shell just sitting there not being animated, and there's a guy there taking minute notes. We're using this light from this distance in that direction. We're using this camera with this lens from this distance. The camera swings over to this angle, 24 degrees. And then they take all of that footage and then they replicate those shots in an animation studio.
Wow.
And then move Marcel around and then composite Marcel. Like when they're driving, like the guy in the fucking, like when the sun moves, the guy in the animation studio had to move the light at the same speed, direction, and angle that the sun was moving in the shot to get it just right. And you don't notice any of that when you're watching it. Like, Marvel, go fuck yourself.
I was going to say, so you're saying that Rafe Judikins can do a lot better job with less money.
He should be able to light a fucking, a real life trawler.
Should. Oh, hey, I watched the documentary today on Hans Zimmer, and they were talking about, he set up a, I guess he has his own studio where people can come and do soundtracks for movies. And he walks in and goes, hey, what are you guys doing today? And they go, oh, we're doing something and the Wheel of Time. And I was like, oh, no way. They got one thing right. They had one person be professional and did something. And if you think about it, the music on the show is actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
Music and costumes.
Just to finish my animation rant. So when they filmed anything on the couch, they filmed everything. They filmed around the couch. The couch was sitting in the living room. They filmed around it. They moved the camera. They did everything. They then took that couch into an animation studio, took out all of the stuffing, raised it up so they could get underneath it like a Muppet.
What?
Put like 100 sticks, attached like 100 sticks to this couch so they could do minute movements up and down when these shells would jump on the couch or like slide down it or something like that.
Wow.
The strawberry, that's not a real fucking strawberry. They fucking they built animation strawberry so they could put it in the scene and move it just fucking right.
That's crazy.
I'm gonna watch this again with all of that in mind, and just
honestly the details, like you're saying, like just all the little things that they did that, like, I mean, you could have kind of, I maybe not skip, but didn't need her, but like Granny's walker is the top of like a champagne bottle, you know, like the wiring on top of it. There's dogs at the end that are two thumbtacks stuck into like a round down nub of a pencil. Just so many things like that, dude. I think I saw a Chex mix with eyes.
I wrote down.
There's a peanut.
Yeah, there's a peanut, a mini wheat, a pincushion. There's a tomato pincushion.
Yeah.
Where's the prequel to this? Where the fucking wizard brings these things to, and do they multiply at the end, or do they all converge from around the country? How are these?
No, they're all in. They're all in the drawer. That's his family.
Not all.
Yes.
There's 20 in the drawer. You missed it.
You missed it. He has a whole family in that house, and there is tons, and they all run to the drawer when they fought. That was the panic room. And then they ran, that he dumped everything out. So the only two that were left was him and his grandma, and the rest went with him.
Also,
when he turns the mirror around, he has a portrait of everyone. There's like a dozen of them.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the movie, there's 100 of them dust skating.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a bunch of little baby ones.
But so he's missing his family, but that's not everybody. So there's also extra other people that are in the house, because in the beginning of the show, he says, I miss my neighbors. I never got to say goodbye to them. And we had a language barrier. Remember the Rosas or something like that?
Yeah. And he talks about his teacher, and
it wasn't just his family that got taken. It was the whole community that was taken.
Yeah, so that's true.
He gets everybody back at the very end. And it was the whole community.
Really? So you think, so at the beginning, during the flashbacks, you think all 100 of these things were living at that house?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. They just show you his family at first, I think. I thought it was kind of cool that they make like the skating rink just the dust.
It's so great. Oh, there's a Cheeto. I didn't see the Cheeto before.
Oh, yes, of course.
There's dice. There's peanuts, and then there's also pistachio nuts.
Oh, the dice man.
Hey, go fuck your mother. Ayo.
Hey, oh, that one's got two eyes. That peanut's got two eyes. I guess a bunch of them have two eyes. So do you guys, can you guys just imagine the like when, like a lot of the stuff Marcel does is the end of a process. Like when she grappling hooks down from the treehouse, the fuck does she get that thing back up there?
Don't ask too many questions.
All of this, like all of this stuff that he does when he's trying to like catapult the tomato into the spice rack. Like I was like, oh, is he trying to like, you know, get a, he's just doing it for fun. Just having a good time. What else? He makes the zip line out of the shoe and the pubic hair.
I think behind the spice rack, there's a tile that comes loose and he, that's where he stores his food.
Oh, okay. All right.
He gets, when he finally gets it up there.
Oh, you're right.
I love when he's like, grandma's not eating anymore. And she's got like one goldfish with like some chives on it or something. Like some grass blades. It's so good.
She's barely eating her food and stuff. It's so great.
Fishing for noodles out of the chicken noodle pot.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so. Oh, dude. Also at the end, the guy's like, hey, what are you doing in the tree?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. You got to get out of there. I don't have insurance for whatever it is you're doing up there. Whatever it is, you have to get down. You're not like a studio or anything, right? No, okay, you got to get down.
Just the random stuff that comes up in this movie, it's just hilarious. It's just a really good movie.
So many genius things in this movie. So many genius things. I love the like small world things.
Instead of, because I kept thinking like, where is all the hate on YouTube? But instead of going that route, they just went the super fan route, which is just as annoying. Like,
yeah,
I'd almost rather have someone call me a dickweed on YouTube than come stand in front of my house.
Yeah, right. Shit.
Well, yeah, definitely. Keyboard warriors are always less scary than someone in person.
That's true.
I can make that happen too, Des. I'll start my own YouTube channel. Des is a jerk.
Hey, I move in 2 months. Send them over. They can.
All right. I'll send them to your house.
Just go do that man on the street shit. Like that, what's his, the Billy guy from Parks and Rec. Just go man on the street, just yelling at people about why they hate, while they hate Desmond. Yeah. When I first started watching this, I was kind of laughing. I was like, I was trying to block the sensitivity with the funny. And I was like, Dean is definitely taking more than a microdose at this point. The last couple morals of the story that I have in this is that once you get your 60 minutes interview, you die.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And
I think Leslie Stahl kills you.
Yeah, I mean,
she eats you for sustenance.
Yes,
for sustenance. It's not personal. It is what it is. Trade off that you make. And the main lesson is that trauma bonds are always the strongest. that's all I got, except for our Wheel of Time character comparisons, and I don't got a whole lot.
No, I don't think that's gonna work.
We'll wind down. I'll just say, yeah, stop jerking off and watch this movie, everybody.
Yep, that's what this.
Oh, here we go. No, I want to do something real quick. Just because, this has a 98 critic score and a 90 audience score. Like this is. Oh, here we go. This is what I want. I want some one star.
Yeah, because honestly, like if what's going, like if I wasn't so stressed and like work and just being kind of crazy the last couple of weeks, like I would have been much more emotionally into this. But like,
yeah,
this is a good movie. Very.
You appreciate it. That's fine. You don't have to.
Yeah, it's very well done.
But here, let's see what this guy says. Terribly dull and boring. I suffered through this film waiting for the laughs and awesomeness to start, as there's so many raving reviews. Did we watch the same film? It did not get better. Maybe if you can't get enough baby talk in your life, oh, you may like this movie, or I cannot fathom gaining any other type of enjoyment. I get it's not too babyish for me, but if you have a real problem with that.
They dialed it back in the first 10 minutes, or I was going to have a hard time watching it. That was my very first thought. I was like, ooh, I don't know if I can do this for 90 minutes. But then they dialed it back and I was like, okay, yeah, just the baby talk at first was like, oh, dude, I really, you know, it's like when they do that fucking like dog, fake dog voice on like Instagram, it's like, my mom's, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I wish I had stayed at home, painted my wall beige, then watched it dry, because that would have been more entertaining than this film. I was annoyed that I paid money and lost time enduring this terrible movie. I went to see the movie based on the Rotten Tomatoes score. I may have missed something, but I've now learned to never trust reviews.
You done learned.
I'd like to see some of their other reviews. They're probably like, you know, Fast and Furious 9, 5 stars.
Masterpiece. My dick is hard. hard.
One of my favorite movies of all time is Beastmaster.
Well, obviously this website is broken if it's rating this YouTube skit as a good movie. If fart sniffing and derelict plot is art, then this is a dang Picasso.
What?
I'm sorry. That's just dumb. I don't know whoever wrote that.
Yeah.
I hope you're an idiot. Like, that's just stupid. Like,
I bet they watched one YouTube skit. They probably watched a 3-minute YouTube skit and wrote a review on this movie based on that.
Your average internet critic these days.
Okay, Jeremy, you're
no stars.
Your final thoughts before we get to YouTube woke comparisons.
I just think that I really wish I would have watched this movie earlier and been able to help with the sales of it, because I would have told a lot of people about this movie, and I'm going to tell a lot of people about this movie. This is just a great, great movie. Watch it with your friends. Watch it with your kids. Watch it with your grandparents. Watch it by yourself if you have time.
Buy your grandma the DVD.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have to figure out Netflix. Like, dude, buy the DVD yourself, rip it onto a VHS tape so your grandma can enjoy it.
There was another thing I was going to say, too. If you
get your grandma an interview with Leslie Stahl.
If you watch this movie, watching it again, you're going to pick up a lot of things. Some of the gardening equipment is just like a piece of wire wrapped around a pistachio as a shovel, like a hand shovel. And I thought that's hilarious. There's also a scene when Marcel is talking to Leslie or the producer on the phone, and he's standing on the phone, but the grandma is standing on the computer, and it's just putting Z's on the computer, but that's kind of off the side. So if you just didn't notice that, it would, and you go back and watch it, it's hilarious.
If you're watching this on your 4x3 tube TV, you didn't see it.
You didn't see that. That's right.
No, you did not.
You need the pan and scan version. Oh no, wait, that is the pan and scan version. Huh?
That is. And they're not scanning over to the Z's. They're going to stay tight on Marcel on the left.
Exactly. Kids, you have no idea what we're even talking about. Not even. That's hilarious.
Not a clue.
I like to forget that existed, so neither do I.
Do you remember when you were young and you hated Letterboxd until you figured out?
Yes. You're like, oh, they got the bars on it. Ugh, gross.
You taught me about that. I was just like, come on, bro.
Well, we weren't kids. We were 20-year-olds.
Are we rating this one?
Do we rate?
What's the highest rating? That's it. That's what it's getting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember, we were doing, I'm going to give this.
Oh, yeah.
Aes Sedai.
I think so.
This is Amerlin for me.
Are you going to go Amerlin?
I'd go Amerlin, man.
Oh, shit. I thought you might.
You know what? I think I will, too. You know why? If this movie is 110 minutes, I go Aes Sedai. At 90 minutes, it's fucking flawless,
right?
Like, they didn't try to squeeze too much out of it. It's hilarious. It's fun. It's freestyle-y. It's
the only thing I could point out,
it's heartwarming and hilarious.
It's heartwarming, absolutely. The only thing I could point out is, like, you were talking about how they pulled off everything very flawlessly. The one thing that was kind of like is when they're doing the interview kind of at the end, and the guy kind of like laughs at Marcel's like joke, and it's like, that's the only part that seemed forced when he's standing in front of the camera and like Marcel's on the stool. That was the one thing I was kind of like, I hope the next 20 minutes isn't just this, because then it's gonna ruin it for me. But it was literally like 5 seconds.
Oh my god, that's a fucking tampon.
There is a tampon. I know. I kept looking for it. That was
that's what that is.
Where? What point?
One hour, 15 minutes and 37 seconds.
So they're skating, or is it?
No, it's at the, when they redo the funeral, when she's singing the Eagles and everyone's
right.
You can see it earlier, but you're not quite sure what it is. And you know, what's funny is I thought something else was, cause I saw a weird string off the side. And I'm like, is that a tampon? I'm like, no. But that fucking is!
I looked up where to stream it, and I just saw, is that a tampon? I'm like, okay. And then I just got into it. You guys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
So first of all, Des, that is probably no less than the third, probably fourth or fifth time that we've been approached like that. To like, hey, are you guys in the life?
Well, you got to stop wearing that handkerchief out of your back pocket, no. Justin.
No, one was a dude that I worked with, and he was like, hey, you know, are you guys like, you know, I'm what they call like a unicorn. Are you guys like in the life? I'm like, don't know what that means. You're going to have to explain it.
Oh, you and your wife. I thought you were talking about you and me. I'm like,
No. Me and Lisa have been approached by like one time this guy was like, hey, man, like from Vegas, right? And we're like, what? He's like, yeah, you know. I'm like, we just look at each other. We're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, he obviously thought we were someone else. Well, I'm going to come see you tonight with another tale of Belize.
Ah, yes.
This is kind of an amalgamation of a couple of times. I've been to Belize several times. First time I went down there, Des, I'm a resourceful guy. I managed to find myself some weed in a few hours. Wasn't great. So, you know, the next time I went, I decided to mail myself some and have it waiting for me at the hotel. That worked out good. So I did that the next time and it was fine. And then I decided to go down another time and I had...
Hey, everybody out there. Hey, DEA agents, check the peanut butter jar.
No, it's not there. And I was just like, hey, you know, like I decided to just mail myself. It's just, you know, like a half ounce for a couple of weeks. The first time, you know, Connor was with us the second time I did it because I was feeling pretty safe about it. It was no issue. The last time we went, for some reason, the way it got addressed, the package got addressed, we had to go pick it up at the post office. This is when I have took, I had trail mix. I had a bunch of edibles on my person. And then my trail mix had 5 grams of hash in it. My edible stash was like, you know, 600 milligrams of edibles probably. I just emptied them out in like other bags. That's not the fun part of the story. The fun part of the story is when, hey, if you want to get your package, you're going to have to come in here. And my dumbass is like, hey, it's going to be fine. I'll walk in and grab it. We'll be done. And Lisa go in. Kids are in the car. And they go, hey, you're going to have to open your package.
Oh, what?
And one of the things we always...
Did you say why?
Have I never heard you, told you the story, Devin?
I, maybe.
So every time we would do that, we would always send a sex toy. You know, we're not opposed to those things. We're pretty dirty individuals, but we would always send one that was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just so like open the box, like, whoa, hey, holy shit. And you know, maybe some liquor, champagne, whatever. Like it's a little gift box, right? Candy, you know. This time I threw some gluten-free cookie mix in and some liquor, some lube and a big vibrator. And so they're like, you're going to need to open up your package so to make sure it's good. I'm like, cool, cool, cool. And I'm still like, you know, I'm already there. Better play it cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you've ever been to a country like that, but it's not.
There's usually a guy with an M16 not too far away.
There were two guys in there, two guys outside, and two guys across the street.
Oh, my God.
All automatic weapons.
Welcome to the post office, gringo.
Yeah, and so we walk in, and they're like, hey, you're going to open this up? And I'm like, okay, fine. And Lisa's just like, you know, she's not a
cop. Oh,
she's like, oh, fuck. I'm going to. She just like give me the eyes like, I'm going to fuck. If we get out of this, I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm willing to kill you. And so we go in, we open it up and they make us open the gluten free cookie mix. And that's where it's at. You know, it's in there. And I open it. She looks inside. Oh, shut it back up. Grabs out like the four things of lube and like, hey man, these are oil based. You can't bring these. You can't mail these. It's, you know, it's flammable, man. You can't, please don't do that again or you'll be in trouble. And I'm just like,
sorry, sir.
Sure, sir. You can throw them right in the garbage right now. That'll be fine. Put the shit and bounce the fuck out. And I was like, I'm going to kill you. Well, we had flown into Cancun that time and then drove down to Belize, which was a nightmare. When we're leaving to come back,
you throw it all in the ocean, Justin.
No, we didn't have, no, we're coming back. So I, you know.
So all of you have is a dry dildo.
I get very tan. No, we're with the kids. So we're rolling clean mess. We're going to go back to the States, you know. So, you know, I'm very tan. Connor, you've seen how that boy when he gets the sun. Lisa, very tan. And then there's Zoe. Blonde hair, light eyes. And just, you know, sunburned and pale. And they're like, she's with you? They're like, yeah, it's our daughter. She's like, I feel like there's weird shit going on. And we're like, we're not bringing the American girl back to the States to sell her. Like, it's like, what's going on? They're like, well, she doesn't look like you guys.
She had been took. We're taking her back.
I'm like, this is her mom. Like, I show her the passport, you know, Lisa Reed, Zoe Reed. This is my son. And like, you know, Connor's got a different last name. And Lisa's never changed her name.
There's three last names and four people.
Oh my God. And they're like, and which one of these kids is not like the other, first of all. And I don't like it. And I'm just, it's like 9 o'clock.
Where are you? Are you on the border? Are you coming out of Belize?
Well, on the border. Belize, on the border. And I'm going from Belize. I'm going to Belize, crossing the border into, I think, Chetumal. and then heading to Cancun to catch my flight. And like, I'm filling out all the stuff, you know, for the kids and everything. And I'm just fucking dripping sweat. And I'm like, hey, man, can I come in to where the air conditioning? And he's just like, no. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I just leaned over his desk and I just started fucking dripping sweat on his desk. and then we went home. Then we flew home.
Then we went home. Holy shit.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
I don't like the phrase, it all comes out in the wash, because sometimes it don't. Marcel, where do you get those wonderful shoes?